You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll look at America's changing stance toward refugees over the years.
First, it's hard to imagine any presidential election or major debate these days without fact checkers. But until recently, fact checking wasn't a major part of the political process. And even though it's relatively common now, fact checking by news media can at times still be controversial.
During the 2012 debate between President Obama and then Republican nominee Mitt Romney, the moderator, Candy Crowley, fact-checked Romney. Take a listen.
I want to make sure we get that for the record, because it took the president 14 days before he called the attack in Benghazi an act of terror.
Get the transcript.
He did, in fact, sir. So let me call it an act of terror.
Can you say that a little louder, Candy?
He did call it an act of terror. It did as well take 2 weeks or so for the whole idea of there being a riot out there about this tape to come out. You're correct about that.
The administration indicated that this was a reaction to a video and was a spontaneous reaction. It took them a long time to say this was a terrorist act by a terrorist group.
Crowley's decision to do some on-the-spot fact-checking was criticized by conservatives and members of the media, and it was cited in recent conversation over whether Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton should be fact-checked in their debates ahead of the general election.
In a new book, our next guest looks at the rise of political fact-checking and what it means for journalism and politics today. Lucas Graves joins us now. He's an assistant professor at UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. His new book is called Deciding What's True, The Rise of Political Fact-Checking in American Journalism. Lucas, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it almost seems like such a natural part of the landscape now in some ways. It's pretty recent that this rose. Talk about the rise of these fact-checking operations.
So the fact-checking operations that we're all so used to today, outfits like factcheck.org, and PolitiFact and the Washington Post fact checker, they really get started over the last decade. The first one was factcheck.org, which launched in 2003. And that's when the sort of modern wave of political fact checking really takes off. You do see precursors before that in the 1990s and in the 1980s. The first examples that I've been able to turn up of political fact checking by professional journalists, by mainstream journalists, are in the 1980s when they were checking a lot of claims by Ronald Reagan, who had a sort of reputation for messing up the details of the government programs that he wanted to abolish.
And this is a big transition. You say there used to be a internal fact-checking and still is in the media, and that when you said fact-check, you meant behind the scenes, people were checking the facts that a reporter had gathered and presented to make sure they were, in fact, factual. This was a big transition from that to what we call fact-checking now.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, I think the idea of internal fact-checking is basically as old as the printing press, right? Because you want to be sure before you run off 100 or, 1,000 or 10,000 copies of your newspaper or your pamphlet or your Gutenberg Bible. You want to be sure that everything's spelt correctly and that you have all of the details right, because it's a very expensive mistake to make, right? We start to see sort of dedicated fact-checking operations inside of American newsrooms in the 1920s at national magazines like Time and then later Newsweek and famously The New Yorker. And some magazines have really become famous for making a real investment in their fact-checking. The fact-checking department at The New Yorker is staffed by something like 16 people. And they'll spend, weeks poring over an article. They really are kind of a secondary research arm that the writers can rely on. A lot of that kind of fact-checking has been scaled back in recent years. Famously, Newsweek, for instance, eliminated its fact-checking department in the 1990s. But at the same time, we've seen the emergence of this new kind of fact-checking, what people sometimes call political fact-checking. Mm-hmm. And really, the mission there is fundamentally different, right? Because whereas the mission of traditional fact-checking is to correct mistakes before they become public, the mission of these new political fact-checkers is to take a claim that's already out there in the public sphere and, tell people whether or not it should be believed. So really what they're doing, in a sense, is they're challenging the people who make these false claims.
And philosophically, not everyone in journalism, it sounds like, bought on to that idea. They thought maybe this is blurring into editorial opinion. We should be reporting and not trying to assess, in a way.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, I think it's becoming less controversial now. That has, you know, something to do with these sort of longer term shifts, and maybe a lot to do with a particular candidate, you know, who sort of surprised everyone by being so successful this year. So you don't see people, you don't see journalists arguing that much in 2016 about whether, you know, whether this style of political fact-checking is a legitimate part of objective reporting. But as recently as 2012, you did see that. You know, it's always been the kind of rule of thumb for professional objective journalists to focus on telling us, you know, what the candidates are saying, right? Report both sides and leave it up to the readers to kind of make up their minds or to sort out what's true from what's false. You know, one of the things we all hear in, you know, one of the classic lessons of journalism schools is that reporters shouldn't draw conclusions, right? Because that's where you start to get into editorializing. While when you're fact-checking, you really are drawing conclusions, but you're drawing factual conclusions, right? You're making arguments based on the best available evidence and then trying to tell people whether or not they can trust a certain politician. And so, yeah, it was kind of risky ground for journalists to get into.
Talking to Lucas Graves from UW-Madison, his new book is Deciding What's True, The Rise of Political Fact-Checking in American Journalism. Well, you went behind the scenes, you embedded with some of the fact-checking operations, sat in on their meetings, actually checked a fact yourself. Can you talk us through what goes into the fact-checking that we end up seeing in our papers or online?
Sure. The procedure is sort of what you'd imagine. They take a pretty common sense approach. Even though even simple fact checks can turn out to be quite complicated. But the first thing they do is they try to contact the person who made the claim. That's to ask them if they can supply any evidence to back up the claim. That sort of shortens the research process a lot. Then they'll look around for the best data sources they can find. That usually tends to be official, you know, government statistics. So they rely a lot on the, you know, Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics, Congressional Research Service, et cetera, all of these kind of trusted sources of official data. Then they'll call up experts, and that gets a little bit tricky because a lot of experts in Washington, D.C. and in state capitals come with, you know, with kind of political leanings. It's hard to find an economist that doesn't sort of lean right or lean left. But they do the best. They do their best to sort of get at the truth by interviewing experts from kind of different sides of the spectrum. And then they digest all of that and they, you know, write what is basically an analysis piece, the kind of thing that could show up in, you know, in the Upshot in the New York Times or on Vox, really going into the details of these claims. The difference is that they reach a verdict and they put that at the, you know, at the top of the piece.
Do these make a difference in terms of voters' opinions of candidates, in terms of how candidates behave? Do you think that fact-checking is leading to less lying or skewing of facts in our political process?
I mean, it's clearly not leading to less lying because even as fact-checking has become, you know, more a basic staple of American journalism, we've also seen, you know, political races get wilder than ever, right? We certainly don't have any shortage of outlandish or unsupported claims in 2016, despite the efforts of, you know, what seems sometimes like armies of fact checkers out there. At the same time, it clearly does make a difference, right? There are moments when candidates are forced to abandon false claims based on the work that fact checkers are doing. And there are voters out there who are looking for, you know, for unbiased information, who want help sorting through all of the spin that they hear from candidates. You know, when you spend time with fact checkers every day they get these kinds of letters from members of the public. They're very proud of them. They'll, you know, they run excerpts from them on their websites. So there are sort of slivers of the public that really rely on this kind of information. Of course, there are also people, you know, many of us who've made up their minds in advance, and so they're not going to be swayed by a particular fact check. But, you know, absolutely, we're better off in a world where journalists are doing their best to hold politicians accountable than in one where they're not.
We're talking to Lucas Graves, assistant professor at UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. His new book is Deciding What's True, The Rise of Political Fact-Checking in American Journalism.
And we'd like to hear from you on this. Do you rely on fact-checking to be informed about the news or the elections? When you're watching the debates, do you expect moderators to fact-check candidates? And tell us why or why not by calling 800-642-1234 or posting on the Central Time Facebook page. And if you work in the media yourself, tell us whether or not you think fact-checking should be part of your job. Our number again, 800-642-1234.
We'll pick up that conversation after this short break here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation now with Lucas Graves. He's the author of the new book, Deciding What's True, The Rise of Political Fact-Checking in American Journalism.
And we want to hear from you on this. Do you think journalists should also be fact-checkers? Let us know by calling 800-642-1234 or posting on the Central Time Facebook page. What role do you think fact-checkers should play in elections and political debates? And do you remember presidential debates before fact-checking was a common practice? Tell us if you thought that was a better way to go. Our number again, 800-642-1234.
Fact-checking, an accepted part of the political process, it seems like. Here's a moment from the most recent presidential debate. Hillary Clinton encouraged people to visit fact-checkers herself in her own website after Donald Trump said he would get a special prosecutor because she deleted and acid-washed 33,000 emails.
So we're going to get a special prosecutor, and we're going to look into it, because you know what? People have been, their lives have been destroyed for doing one-fifth of what you've done, and it's a disgrace. And honestly, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Secretary Clinton, I want to follow up on that. I'm going to let you talk about email.
Because everything he just said is absolutely false, but I'm not surprised.
Really?
In the first debate...
And we
in the
really,
first
the
debate,
audience needs to
I
calm down here.
I told people that it would be impossible to be fact-checking Donald all the time. I'd never get to talk about anything I want to do and how we're going to really make lives better for people. So, once again, go to HillaryClinton.com. We have literally Trump. You can fact-check him in real time.
Pointing out that fact check is a hard word to say again and again, as we've found today. But Lucas, there's been controversy over whether not the candidates, as in that case, but the moderators should be trying to fact check the candidates somehow in real time. That sounds like a hard job. Where do you weigh in on that?
That's absolutely a hard job. And I think what we saw with the Candy Crowley clip that you played from the at the start of the show is... sort of what not to do when you're trying to fact-check a political debate in real time, right? What we don't want is for moderators to be stepping in sort of off the cuff with an ad hoc fact-check. What would be wonderful, in my opinion, is to have some sort of well-thought-out fact-checking mechanism that's built into the debate format, right? Because the real advantage is that we get to hear how the candidates will respond to the fact checks of these exaggerations or falsehoods that they've been repeating for months and months.
So maybe a fact check segment in the last 20 minutes of the debate. You said this earlier in the debate, fact check says false or something like that. That might be one way to try to work that in.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic because that helps to make it fair towards both of the candidates. It's something that they can be expecting. And of course, maybe they don't agree with the fact check. And if that's the case, they can tell us why they don't agree. But at least we have the chance to hear them explain themselves. Short of that, I do think it's really important for the moderator to at least be ready with follow-up questions that are based on some of the fact checks that are already out there. We saw that, for instance, when finally Trump was confronted directly with the fact that, you know, as far as we know, he did not publicly oppose the war in Iraq before he supported it in 2002. That's the kind of admission that a forum like that is kind of a unique opportunity to deliver.
Let's go to our callers now. Carrie is on the line with us in Green Bay. Carrie, hi.
Hi. I personally do not think that fact-checking should be employed, especially on TV or when the candidate's giving a public message. I think we should look into it ourselves. And the reason being is because I think it's subjective up to the fact-checker. For example, if the candidate said, I lowered taxes by 6%, and the fact-checker perhaps has a certain viewpoint that they want to get across, and they say, nope, that's false. Well, without stating, well, they lowered taxes by 5.9%. Well, in our, for our purposes, lowering taxes by 5.9 versus 6 really isn't that important. They lowered taxes. And another real time, actually, just recently, I read something on the internet where it was fact-checked when Donald Trump said, Hillary acid-washed her emails. Well, they said false. That's not true. And the reason why it was not true is because they used a wrong term. And the fact is, it doesn't matter what term was used. It's more or less the fact that it was not recoverable. So I think that, when fact-checkers check facts, they need to either not do it at all, or it has to be very specific on what exactly, the point is that they're checking, and they also decide what they want to check.
Carrie, thanks a lot for that call. And usually when you see a fact check, it isn't just statement true or false. There's a lot of explanation of what went into that decision, right, Lucas?
That's absolutely right. And I think even the fact checkers themselves will say that the important thing is not the ruling, but rather all of the analysis that goes into it. The ruling is just a way to get people interested in all of that detail. And I think it's absolutely true that moderators should be really careful not to just, ring a buzzer and yell false over the candidates during a debate.
Would be entertaining.
It would be entertaining, but it might not be that enlightening.
Right.
But they should ask follow-up questions and explain what fact checkers have found and then, let the candidates answer with, with more explanation.
And in many cases, as you say, the first call is to the person who's being fact-checked, and a second call, it seems like, so they can offer their case to be made why they were right in the first place, if they're being ruled false.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot for the call, Carrie. We're talking to Lucas Graves from UW-Madison, new book on fact-checking in American politics. Margaret is with us next in Green Bay. Margaret, hi.
Hi. I just had a question about the term liberal media. I kind of have a feeling that once that term got turned into something that it's, in my opinion, that the media isn't liberal, that no matter what fact-checking organization there is, people who don't want to believe it are just going to blame it on the liberal media. And I'm wondering when that term started becoming more prevalent. I'll take my answer off the air.
Margaret, thanks for that call. And yeah, that gets to the question of if you come in with thinking that the media is biased against you, or if you see a fact check that is against your side, your candidate, no matter where you're coming from, blaming the messenger seems to be an easy response.
That's absolutely true. And, the media are already held in fairly low regard. Journalists are already held in fairly low regard by many Americans. And fact-checking, because it kind of steps into these political debates, tends to invite more of that kind of criticism, right? And it's a really well-studied phenomenon that all of us tend to find that that neutral media coverage is biased against our own point of view. That's true whether you're on the right or on the left. We tend to see unbiased reports as being unfair to our side.
We'll go to another caller now, Abe in Milwaukee. Abe, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I really like the idea of a segment of the debate to include a response to facts that had been checked, statements that had been made. I really like that idea. I do have another question, and that is, how will the media, or how do people who fact-check handle the inevitable accusation that the election was stolen if Trump loses?
Abe, thanks for the call. So he's painting a scenario there. If Hillary Clinton wins, Donald Trump has expressed suspicion that the vote could be rigged. So if specific claims are made about vote rigging, I suppose, how would a fact-checking agency start tackling that?
I don't think the fact checkers could do much about that. But it's definitely true that and I think we saw signs of this during, you know, during the debate on Sunday night, that if Donald Trump does lose the election, there's every sign that he'll blame in part journalists and specifically fact checkers. We already saw him starting to suggest during the debate that he thought the format was unfair and that Hillary Clinton was getting, you know, easier questions or not getting as many follow-ups as he was. So I think we can expect to hear more of that if the election goes against him.
Is fact-checking here to stay as you see the, as you look at the American journalistic landscape?
I definitely think it's here to stay. I'm not sure it'll be quite as prominent in 2020 as it is in 2016. You know, if we don't have such a sort of such a wild race, but it's really hard to imagine journalists giving up this kind of new territory they've claimed and kind of making a return to he said, she said reporting.
And are we in the American public better for it?
I absolutely think we're better for it. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't sort of settle questions in the way that we might wish. It doesn't always convince everybody. It obviously doesn't stop politicians from lying. But at the same time, it's information that's there, that's available if you choose to look it up. And again, I think, it's hard for anyone to say that journalists are doing their job if they don't do their best to let us know when politicians aren't telling the truth.
We'll leave it there for now. Lucas, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks. It's been great to be here.
That was Lucas Graves. He's an assistant professor at UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. We've been talking about his new book. It's called Deciding What's True, The Rise of Political Fact-Checking in American Journalism. Still time to share your thoughts over at the Central Time Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Want to know, are you a regular follower of PolitiFact or one of the other fact-checking outfits out there? Do you think they add a lot, or do you worry that they may have some kind of bias one way or another when they look at something like a presidential campaign? Share your thoughts at the Central Time Facebook page, or again, tweet us at Central Time WPR.